open wide thine heart today? Have you opened your heart up to Jesus this morning? Thank you, Brother Les, for leading those songs, even though you didn't know what I was going to preach on. I plan to preach on the revived heart, because we're thinking about revivals. And I was trying to think a little bit about how do we prepare ourselves for revivals, and began to think about our hearts. Are you revived, or do you need revival? There's only two groups of people here this morning. Either those that are revived, that feel like they're in good health, or those that need some reviving. If we need some reviving, that means we got some health issues. And we could think of it in the natural way, that when we have health issues, probably the first thing the doctor does is checks our heart. And our heart really tells us something about my life. He'll check your blood pressure, and that tells you something about how well your heart's doing. Is it pumping blood? If your blood pressure gets down to nothing, that means there's no life. Our spiritual lives are the same way. And so we have revival because we need to get our blood pressure taken. We need to have a heart checkup. And so there's times in our life where we think that we're doing okay, but maybe, well, we all know that we need revival. There's always areas in our life where we need reviving. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. But you all look really good this morning. My sister sent me a message, and one of my older sisters sent a message of a singing group, and she put underneath, these look like plain boys. Now, this struck me a little bit funny, because can you explain to me what a plain boy might look like? I mean, we could spend all morning here talking about what makes a plain boy and what makes a worldly person, and what, you understand what I mean by a plain person. And so she's saying these boys look like they're Christians. I don't know these men. I knew the group, but I don't know their hearts. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so y'all look like plain boys this morning, plain women, people that love the Lord. But God knows our hearts. And God knows exactly what you're facing in life. And God is, I believe this week, as we come together for what we call revivals, as we draw closer to Him, God can fix our hearts. God can show us our hearts. God can show us areas that we need to improve in. God can show us our blood pressure. It's like going to the doctor and getting a checkup and say, you better be concerned, because you got health issues. And you say, so what? I feel good. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. I thought about calling it the revived or the prepared heart, because it's something that we have to prepare. And so we sang that song, Open Wide Thine Heart Today. So this morning we need to be opening up our heart and saying, Jesus, Lord, show me my heart. Show me what it is. And then we sang a song that Brother Les just picked. Clear, he was not prepared for this one. He sang, Oh, for a heart to praise my God. A heart from sin set free. A heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me. A heart resigned, submissive, meek. My dear Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A heart in every thought renewed. Full of love divine, perfect and right, pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. A humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing true and clean, which neither life nor death can part from him that dwells within. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above, write thy new name upon my heart, the new best name of love. And so this morning we were singing about the heart. And Brother Glenn led us in a devotional meditation that talked about the king's heart. The king's heart. We'll get to that in a little bit. As I studied this, I thought about an old childhood book that I read when I was growing up. I was really little. And this is a child's book, but it was called Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop. I don't know if that rings any bell. I would just be curious. Does anybody remember reading Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop? We got two hands. All right. It's one of them books that I have not read for years. And as I was studying about the heart, Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop goes like this. He fixes all kinds of things: broken locks, broken clocks, broken pans, broken fans, broken plates, broken skates. He could fix them all. People smiled when they walked past Mr. Bell's shop and seen his sign in the window, Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop. I fix everything but broken hearts. And they had a heart drawn like this. And that's the world we live in, full of broken hearts. And Mr. Bell could fix anything except broken hearts. And the story goes on that he had a little assistant by the name of Jill. She was a little girl. And you really need to go look at this book because it's the old-time book and it's got graphic pictures of old-time, really dressed-up nice people. Mr. Bell's an old grandpa-looking man, and Jill's just this little 8-year-old girl, and she just loves Mr. Bell because she can fix anything. And so she helps Mr. Bell. But one day, Jill bursts into the shop and she's in tears and she's crying. And Mr. Bell says, Jill, what's wrong? And she says, and she holds up her little dolly and she says, I went to Grandma's yesterday and Grandma's dog got a hold of my little doll and he chewed it all to pieces. And Mr. Bell said, cheer up, I'll fix it for you. Just let me take care of your problem. I'll fix it. You go home, you have supper, and then you come back tomorrow. And Mr. Bell works all night, and he makes a new leg for this doll, and he puts new hair on this doll, and he makes the doll a new dress, and he makes a beautiful doll. And Jill comes back the next morning, and here's her problems in life fixed. It's just a beautiful picture of what God can do for us. God has a fix-it shop and he can fix everything. And the story ends with little Jill going on the outside of the shop and she says, Mr. Bell, you can fix broken hearts, because her heart was broken because of her doll. And so the last picture had him putting a Band-Aid on the heart. And you know what? That's God for us. God can take our broken hearts, the things that we are faced with life, and he can fix it for us. But we have to allow him to do it. We have to allow him to take our pieces and put them all back together. And so the God's word talks about broken hearts, doesn't it? Turn with me to Psalm. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning, and I trust that you can turn with me. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, 18. It's a very special verse. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. None of us like to have a broken heart. That means there's pain. That means we have things in life that we're in tears about. That means we have broken dreams. And the psalmist is saying, God is near those of a broken heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. God is near. God wants us to bring our broken hearts to him this morning. What kind of a heart do you have? What kind of a heart can God touch? And what kind of a heart can God put back together for you this coming week? God wants you to. God wants you to come to him and with your broken heart and a contrite spirit. And he'll say, just give me the pieces and I can put it back together. A healthy heart. What kind of heart do you have? One that's perfect, maybe already put back together? Or maybe a heart that's building up with some plaque inside? One that's on the verge of a heart attack and you don't know it? Maybe you need some new valves in your heart because your heart's not working right. And so I started thinking about all the different hearts in the Bible. And I came across this verse. Well, this verse is what started my study. In Hosea 10:2. And it says this: their heart is divided. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. And I just thought about that. Their heart is divided. Can you have a divided heart? Can you live with a divided heart? And you can't. If your heart's divided, that's a divided heart right there. It's one that's broken. Their hearts are divided. And so I trust this morning our heart is not divided. You can't live. You have to have a heart that's put back together. And so I began this study of thinking, how many hearts does the Bible talk about? And I plan to open it up so you can start thinking about this. I'd like to hear from you, how many hearts? We already talked about the broken heart. Here in Hosea talks about a divided heart. How many descriptive terms of a heart do you think is in the scriptures? I thought maybe 10. I didn't know. Maybe more than that. There's one for every week of a year. There's 52 of them. Descriptive terms of your hearts. There's good ones and there's bad ones. The broken heart, the contrite heart. We already talked about that. We talked about the divided heart. So there's three of them. Now I'd like to open it up. And it could come from either side of the house. And you may do your research in your Bible. Who would like to volunteer a heart? One that you know from memory.
Clean heart. A clean heart.
Create in me a clean heart. And that's Psalm 90, 91, I believe. Psalm 51, there we go. Psalm 51:10. And that one is a very special verse to me. I like Psalm 51. I'm just going to read it. It's talking about David's heart was just dark, and he was crying out, and he just needed God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that's verse 10, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Psalm 51 is an inspirational psalm for what God can do when we have a desire for a clean heart. Thank you, brother. Another one. Okay, Nehemiah, what's the, Nehemiah 2:2, sorrow of heart. All right, there's a lot of them.
Psalm 111, verse 1, praise you, Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart.
Okay, not a divided heart. Go to praise the Lord with my whole heart. Thank you. What's some more? Okay, an understanding heart. What was that verse again? First Kings. All right. A desire for an understanding heart. And shouldn't that be a prayer of each one of ours that we would have an understanding heart? First of all, to know ourselves, to know who God is. Good to see you looking. Thanks for checking. What's some more? Raise your hand so I know which way it looked. I see you there, brother. Okay. The broken and contrite heart. It says, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. Myron. The pure in heart. That's one, a Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Deceitful heart. Who can know it? I think that's how that verse says. The heart is very deceitful. I got a whole list of them, but it takes too long to try to find them here.
A merry heart giveth
You have a merry heart. Right? There's about three different scriptures that talk about the merry heart. And the one talks about that Second Chronicles 7:10 talks about, a lot of these are the Old Testament, talks about the children of Israel, that they merry heart made a difference in their countenance. The Second Chronicle verse was talked about, they were merry for what God would do. Is there someone else? Okay, a double heart. Did I repeat that right? Did I see another hand back here? Titus. Okay, a soft heart. Isn't it incredible how many verses talk about your heart? A soft heart, Brother Will.
Isaiah 55:14. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, and you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall call for vexation of spirit.
So you have two of them in there, joy of heart and sorrow of heart. Melvin. Basically, open up my heart and allow God to search my heart. And these are all things that we need to have. But alas.
Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their way and give them a heart of flesh.
All right. One heart. Is that the one that talked about the hard heart too?
The stony heart.
Okay. So if it's a stony heart, it's a hard heart. There's another verse that talks about your heart is like a stone. And so we want a heart that's unified, just one heart to serve God. Whereas a stony heart, God can't work with. Was it Bruce? Okay, got several of them in there. A new heart. That's the important one. God's going to give us a new heart. And we can do that this week. Okay, imagine in the physical way, our hearts wear out and they can do some heart transplants. It's pretty scary. But God does that for every one of his children. He gives us a new heart, a new desire. He takes that old, hard, stony heart and he gives us a new one that's soft. That's why we need revivals. That's why we need a new glimpse of God so that he can give us a new heart. A true heart. Thank you. A true heart. You're blessing me. Okay. Psalm 57 talks about a fixed heart. Fixed on God. That means it's not easily shaken. Secure. My heart is fixed. You know what you believe. Okay. Talks the meditations of our heart. The things that we dwell on. That the meditations would be acceptable to God. Sanford.
1 Samuel 10:9, when Saul was anointed, God gave him another.
Okay. All right. When he was anointed to do the work, God gave him another heart. He gave him a heart to do the job. God can do that for each one of us. Whatever he's calling us to in life, God can give us a heart for what we're facing. Curtis.
In 1 Samuel 25:37, it says, it came to pass in the morning when the wine was going out of Nabal, his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone.
His heart died, a dead heart. And you know what is so important? Because if we don't keep our hearts soft, it's going to get harder and harder and colder, and eventually it dies. And when we're dead, we're dead. There's no other chance to revive a dead heart. While there's life, there's hope. And so let's not have a dead heart, because God can't work with a dead heart. God can, if we still have life. He wants to give us a new heart. I still have more on my paper, but you're really doing excellent. All right.
Colossians 3:22 speaks of singleness.
Okay. Singleness. Glenn.
Acts 4:32. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul.
Okay. Talks about one heart again. Singleness. Together. Unity.
Also talks about uncircumcised heart and circumcised.
Okay. I'd come across those verses. Talks about the circumcised heart versus the uncircumcised heart. Cutting off the sin of our in our life. There's another hand back there. Slow of heart. I think that was one I did not have. Slow of heart to believe. And the difference is that we are quick to believe, that we're not slow of heart. That when we're presented truth, we believe. We make it part of our life. Is there any more ladies? Raise your hand. Alma. Okay, the upright heart. There were some other men here. I seen some hands. Melvin.
Psalms 147:3.
Okay, another verse talks about the broken heart. Les.
Isaiah 35:4. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with
recompense,
he will come and save.
Okay. We don't need a fearful heart, because our God is strong. He's going to be there for us. So we face some fearful things in life, but we don't need a lout to get us down. Well, thank you for that coming forth of the scriptures, and that there's more verses. Take time to do a Bible study on that. I found that very inspirational, because I had no idea that the Bible talked about so many different kinds of hearts. There's in John 13:2, it talks about a diabolical heart. Diabolical is a heart like Satan. We don't want a heart that's evil. I don't believe that anybody give the faithful heart. That's the one in Nehemiah 9:8. Maybe someone did, but God was talking about Abraham's life. And he says, Abraham is a faithful man. He has a faithful heart. All right. And then Brother Glenn read us the story this morning about Belshazzar, and his heart was lifted up in pride, and it talked about his heart was made like a beast. And I suppose we could say it was like a beast's heart. We do not want those type of hearts. God wants us to have faithful hearts. And so what shapes your heart? Which one of those hearts, as you heard the descriptive terms of hearts, which one is your heart? And none of us have perfect heart. We strive so much we want to be like God. We want our heart to be perfect and soft toward Him. But there's times we fail, and that's why we need revival. We need a desire. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And so our heart can deceive us, and we think everything's fine, but our heart's wicked. And so we need to look honestly at our heart. Turn in your songbooks and the Christian hymns to Psalm number 35. I was pondering this psalm. It It's come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. And the last verse says, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And this old heart is so prone to wander. We think we have a single heart, a heart that's just toward God, but my heart is so prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Lord, take it. Take my heart, Lord, and seal it for thy courts above. I like that song. Take my heart. And so I trust that your desire this morning is for the Lord to take your heart this week and to turn it into something great for him. We're so prone to forgetfulness. And I had to think back to a year ago. We had revivals. Who was the speaker? You don't need to answer, but answer it in your mind. We're so prone to forgetfulness, you're like, let's see here. It was Brother Steve. Brother Steve Ebersole was here for a week. And we felt like we were drawn closer to him. I know you were, and I know I was. Who was the evangelist before that? See, our minds are prone to forgetfulness. And so I'm so prone to wonder, and I get drawn closer to God, but then the storms of life kind of draw me away. And we have to rededicate and say, Lord, I still want to be yours. Last year, when our brother preached and your heart was challenged, did you change anything in the past year to draw closer to him? You know, I always go away from a week of revival saying, I want to do better. Lord, I'm going to, yes, Lord, that was good. But did you do it? Did I do it? Did I really allow the Lord to change my heart and make it more like his? I know I've said this many times here, but Albert Einstein says, the insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And so we continue to live our life. And so really, if you want to draw closer to God, you're going to have to make choices in your life to allow God to draw you closer. Or it's insanity. You just keep doing the same thing over and over. So I want you to ponder, last year, has anything changed in your life? Have you drawn closer? Have you grown in your Christian life? Has your heart been softer toward God? The children of Israel was a prime example of this. I just want to spend the rest of the time, I just want to be thinking about the children of Israel and how that their life was just ups and downs, ups and downs. See, they went up, they drew closer to God when God had their heart. But when their heart became cold, when their heart became proud, when their heart became vain, God left them go, and they drifted away and drifted away. And they would cry out and say, God, where are you? And God was always there. And he would heat their heart up, make it on fire. And they would get a closer relationship. And, we love the Lord. We're strong now. And God would fight for them, and God would do all these good things. And then when their heart was lifted up in pride, back down they went. That's not us, but yet we're prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. We have those same tendencies in my life that when things start going good, my heart gets drawn up and I say, I can do it myself. And God has a way of just kind of cutting us down sometimes and saying, you need me. Turn with me to Joshua 24. Just want to read some verses from Joshua as he was reminding the people, and I'm thinking about preparing our heart for a week of revivals. Joshua 24, some of Joshua's last words to the children of Israel, and he's reviving them. He's taking the goodness of God and putting it in front of them and saying, remember all the things that God has done for you. Remember how God has led you. Remember how in verse 5, he says, remember the plagues. Remember how empty your life was. And remember how God just did the great things. And children of Israel is like, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're a great God. Verse 6, he says, remember how the God rolled the waters back for you. And you walked through. And he destroyed your enemies behind you. And so there's times in our life where we just need to kind of whip ourselves up a little bit and think about how God has worked on our behalf, the behalf of his people. He fought their battles. He did all these things. Verse 9 to verse 13, he talks about the battles, how God would go before them and fight for them. And then we come to verse 15. Now choose you this day whom you will serve. It's a choice that each one of us must make to say, yes, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, you're going to have my heart. Lord, I want you to take my heart and make it yours. Just do whatever you want to with it. The children of Israel said, we will serve the Lord. As something, a personal commitment that they said, yes, Lord, we want to do this. And I think back to the young Christians a year ago that said, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. And my question is, are you just as much on fire this morning as you were a few months ago of saying, yes, Lord? Children of Israel were excited about serving God. But then life went on. Life just got back to normal. Revival meetings were over. And you know what? It depended upon their heart's condition. Their heart condition made all the difference, whether they were excited about God or whether they were excited about the things of the world. And we know the story. Turn over to Judges, Judges 2. We leave the children of Israel saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And in Judges 2, we have a sad, sad story. Judges 2, verse 7. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of their elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timnah-heres in the mountain, in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. How can such a thing happen? We just had men that were saying, Lord, you have my heart. Lord, you can do anything with my heart. I'm going to serve you all my life. And you have a generation that's coming behind saying, they did evil, and they knew not God. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And anger of the Lord was hot against them. God knows our hearts, and he knew the hearts of the people, and it provoked the anger, and anger of God was hot. Because there was hearts that were no longer soft. They were stony hearts. God knows my heart. God knows your heart. What condition is your heart this morning? The same tendency is in my heart, just like the children of Israel. That tendency to go back to the things that we left. Just to go back to our old lifestyle. Why do we need revival? It's because of that tendency. That tendency to lose out. That tendency to grow cold. And so I simply ask that question in closing. How is your heart this morning? And this week, spend time praying that God would show you your heart. And that God would move in our brother as he preaches. That he would speak to our heart. And that my heart would be soft. And that my prayer would be like David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wickedness in my heart and lead me in the path everlasting. Let us kneel for a word of prayer.